Now, before we go on with more of your questions coming in, we're going to ask the team some quiz questions. It's our Brain of the Week competition. We're going to have two teams. Kyle and Matt, you're team one. And Sophie and Alan, you are team two. So, round one is called The Birds and the Bees. So, Kyle and Matt, have a listen to this. What can exert more force, the kick of a secretary bird or the pinch of a coconut crab? What do you think?
I think it's a coconut crab.
It has to be crabs, right? crustaceans are famous for being able to do these really forceful pinches, aren't they?
Yeah, although some birds are known for having very hard kicks, but...
Interesting. I reckon the crab.
Go with the crab.
Going for the crab. Get a bing for that. It is indeed the coconut crab. It lives in the tropical Indian and Pacific Oceans. Did you know that, Sophie?
Yes.
About the coconut crab? You would have got that one right, wouldn't you? Good job you weren't on their team. It would have been a slightly foregone conclusion. The pinch can exert a force comparable to a boxer's punch, but the secretary bird's kick isn't to be underestimated because these gangly birds can deliver killer kicks with a force equivalent to five times their own body weight. Isn't that extraordinary? Right, Sophie and Alan, your question. What's more poisonous, a cone snail or a daddy long legs?
Cone snails are very, very poisonous, but it's got to be a trick question, hasn't it? Is it the fact that the daddy long legs can't pierce your skin? Is that a urban myth?
I think that's an urban myth. It depends on how you define daddy long legs as well.
What would you like to go for? Snail or daddy long legs?
I would like to go for the cone snail, and I think it's right.
Okay. So if he's going cone snail,
okay.
It's the right decision because it is the cone snail. Now, cone snails are predatory. They're beautiful if you've ever had the chance to see one. They're seed-dwelling snails. Do not tread on them because the estimated lethal dose for a geography cone snail is less than 0.1 milligrams per kilo body weight. So if you're an 80-kilo human, that's just 8 milligrams that you need to poison you. Daddy long legs being poisonous, massive urban myth. There are three species of creepy crawlies that people refer to as daddy long legs. Two of them, the harvestman and the crane fly, are not venomous whatsoever. The flaccid house spider can give you a nip, but to a human, it's absolutely harmless. So well done. It's one all so far. Round two we're on to now. This is called Up, Up and Away. Kyle and Matt, have a listen to this. Assuming no impact from space debris, what's going to survive longer in space? Starman's tyres or his windscreen? Now, Starman is Elon Musk's Tesla. He blasted into space last week aboard the Falcon Heavy. And it's currently on its way, having missed its target of Mars, to the asteroid belt. So this car is making its way across space. What's going to last longer, the windscreen or the tyres?
I might have to defer to Matt on this one.
Assuming no impact from space debris is the confusing thing, right? Because I assumed that there'd be this constant rain of stuff that would wear things away. Does rubber decay over time?
I would have thought rubber would be more resilient than glass, presuming that the windscreen is made of glass in this case.
But this is assuming it's not getting hit by stuff, right? Well, we'll guess windscreen.
It's a good guess. Oh, yep, the glass in the windscreen. Solar radiation that you were referring to earlier, Matt, will break carbon-carbon and carbon-hydrogen bonds, for instance, like those found in the rubber of car tyres. Glass is mostly inorganic. It's made of silica. That's silicon dioxide. So the glass is going to be more resilient. But there is a caveat here. Windscreen glass is laminated to make it safety glass. So that means there is perspex or plastic in the glass as well. So that's going to discolour and it will come apart with time. So the glass is not completely immune to the solar radiation, but it will probably be a bit more resilient than the tyres. So you made a good choice there. Well done. Got to get this one right to stay in the game. Over to you, Sophie and Alan. How many Earths could you fit into the distance between the Earth and the Moon? I'll give you a choice of three. Is it 10, 30 or 1,000? What are your thought processes?
I was trying to do the math.
I'm just watching.
It's a quarter of a million miles to the Moon, is it? Is that right? And is it the diameter?
Metric on this show, please. We haven't left the EU yet.
Diameter of the Earth is 12,000 kilometres.
Going to have to push you. 10, 30 or 1,000?
Not 1,000.
It's got to be 30.
Shall we?
Yes.
30.
Yay!
And you're absolutely right. On average, the Moon's about 380,000 kilometres away from the Earth. The diameter of the Earth, 12,756 kilometres. Bit of division later, 30 Earths about thereabouts. So well done. That's plus one to you as well. So it's level pegging. And on to the final round. Round three, hit me one more time. So Kyle and Matt, hit with an identical force, what accelerates the fastest? A cotton wool ball, a golf ball, a football, or is it a trick question and they all accelerate at the same rate?
So I think this is about elastic versus inelastic collisions, right? So I guess it would
have to be... I vaguely remember that from my physics class.
I think it would be a golf ball.
That's the initial response, but then I'm... No, I'm going to go with your golf ball because you're gonna go that's golf my. Ball. But I'm wondering if it's all at the same time.
You got a no-no for that one. Actually, the cotton wool ball, and the physics is that Newton's second law is force equals mass times acceleration. The acceleration is force divided by mass, therefore. So the lightest object with the smallest m mass, the cotton wool, is going to accelerate the fastest. It's not going to have much momentum, though, and that means it's going to feel a lot of air resistance, so it's not going to travel very far. So it was a bit of a sneaky question. Let's hope they get this one wrong and then you'll stay in the game. Right, Sophie and Alan, in a glass filled with water and ice up to its brim, when the ice melts, will the water level in the glass A, drop, B, stay the same, or C, overflow?
Up to its brim, so then it will drop, because ice is greater in area, volume than water. So once the ice melts, as long as it's up to the glass's brim, the level will drop.
Yeah, let's go with that.
You're saying the level's going to drop?
Yeah.
No, actually, the level will stay exactly the same. And the reason for this is ice is, of course, made of water. So the ice is displacing a volume of water equivalent to its own mass, because the mass of the ice is made of water, so it's 1 gram per centimetre cube. So actually it's displacing a volume which is equivalent to its mass. So that means the level of water won't change when the ice melts. It will stay the same. Yeah, there you go. Right, we're on to the tiebreaker now. So to the nearest 10, how many balloons can the current Guinness World Record holder blow up in an hour? By mouth, how many balloons world record inflation in an hour?
Do you reckon they could do it in a second?
How big is your balloon?
Gonna have to hurry you.
Yeah, before they faint.
Maybe even more.
Okay, right, here we go. Have you got a number? Have you thought of a number?
Yes.
Have you two thought of a number?
Yes.
No, you mustn't cheat. Okay, this is honesty, and this is Kyle's a criminologist, so she'll know if you're cheating, right? So you have to tell us what number you first thought of. So, Kyle and Matt, what is your suggested number?
1,400.
And Alan and Sophie?
Oh, we had 1,000.
The answer is 910. This is according to the Guinness Book of World Records. Hunter Hewan from Colorado trained for 6 months. He also worked with a surgeon to get the most efficient balloon tying technique, and he even worked on techniques for conserving air and avoiding getting lightheaded. And during his record-setting feat, he nonetheless still experienced tingling in his hands and said he got changes to his eyesight as well, which is a bit of a worry. But what that means is that the points go to Sophie and Alan. So well done. That enables you to clinch victory from the jaws of defeat, and you are this week's big brain of the Naked Scientist. Thank you very much for that.